thank him for his multiple blessings upon us. Amen. Well, I want to, first of all, acknowledge if anybody's here tonight that is a veteran. This is Veterans Day 2020, November the 11th. And we want to just say thank you for all you've ever done to keep us free. And shame on those that's trying to take our freedom away. And to God be the glory. Amen. If you will, turn back with me to the book of Daniel for just a minute. I've given Abby another section of scriptures that we'll be turning to in just a few moments. But I wanted to go back there to Daniel for just a few minutes. Not going to spend a lot of time there this evening. But I wanted to go back and sort of just mention something and lead into what I want to do this evening. If I had a title for the evening service, it would be, If Not God, Then Who? If Not God, Then Who? And the reason that I chose that is simply because when you read the scripture that we were in last week, we were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and that other guy, Abednego. Is that right? That was a long discussion last week between me and some special people, of friends of mine. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said in verse number 18, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And then you look over into verse number 25, and this is what it says. "And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men," somebody say loose, "loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth man," or the fourth, "is like the Son of God." Stretch your hands this way and pray for me. Father, I do give you praise, and I do thank you, Father God, for all your many blessings, God, upon us. And we thank you, Father God, for all that you've done. And I know, God, tonight that you are sovereign, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that you, Lord, would lead this service tonight. Take it, guide it. Father, be the words that we need to say this evening. Father, you said in your word that it's not by might nor by power, but God, it is by your Spirit. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Ghost would be here in this place tonight. Allow the Spirit of God to move up on us, and allow the Spirit of God to touch every heart, and allow the Word of God to go forth with power. Allow the Word of God to go forth and effective this evening. Father, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, last week when we were in this scripture, we talked about the three Hebrew children and how that Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree. And the decree was, and you know the story as well as I do, when you hear the certain sounds, the music of the sabak and the other instruments that's there, fall down and worship the image. Fall down and worship the beast. And that is what, or the image that's set up, not the beast, but the image that's set up. And that is the plea that we hear in our society today. When you hear certain sounds, this world today again is a culture that is filled with sounds and noises, and there seems to be demands that have been placed upon you and I today that is trying to get us from our dedication to God to the dedication of the God of this world. And in that, I'm just simply opening this scripture simply to say this, that these three young men trusted God even though they were thrown in the midst of the fire. One of the things I wanted to mention was simply this, that God did not keep them from going into the fire, but God kept the fire from burning them. That God kept the fire from consuming them. The way I look at that, God got in the midst of the fire with them. And we're going to talk about that in the latter part of the message. The Bible says, if you look at this, the fourth man there in verse number 25, and I ask myself this question, as many of you, it says the fourth is the form, the fourth is like the Son of God, the fourth man is likened to the Son of God. And we look at this and we think about this in a theological context. It's called a theophany, And you can see what that is if you look it up in the theological dictionary. And basically, it is a term that is used for a visible or an audible or a visible manifestation of God throughout the Scripture. That is actually being used in a couple of different places throughout the Scripture of God Himself. One being that when God was there in the garden, God came down, God spoke to Adam and Eve. God had this conversation with them. That's a theophany. It's when God comes down in the audible voice, and He comes down and He reveals Himself, not to where He could be seen, but where He could be heard, and a form, again, that one would be relative and would relate to God Himself, such as what Moses did in the book of Exodus chapter number 3. If you would turn there, you would find the story of Moses talking to the Lord. He says, take off your shoes. The place that you're standing is holy ground. Moses was there. He seen this great image in front of him. It was a burning bush. And Moses was so mesmerized by the bush, but really we forget sometimes about the God of the burning bush. Amen? So those is what a theophany is. And so when you look at this, we can see even that God came down in the smoke on the Mount of up on the top of Mount Sinai when Moses was there, and Moses then knew that he was in the presence of God. And even in Genesis, if you look at that again in the book of Exodus chapter number 3, you look at this in chapter number 8, that's Genesis. Put my glasses back on where I can see, where that God came down in an audible form, where that God came down and He spoke to them in a small, still voice. And again, we've truly seen God work all throughout the Bible. It is no doubt in my mind that you and I have seen God work when they were in the fire there. They knew that the hand of God was upon them, and God delivered them, and God set them free. And I look at this, and I wanted to get into this message this evening for just a few minutes, and that's kindly a precursor, if you will, from where we're wanting to go. So when you look at Moses, when you look at Adam and Eve, when you look at Joshua, when you look at Elijah, when you look at David, when you look at all the people throughout the Scripture, even if you look in the New Testament, such as the disciples, if you will, when they were on the boat, Jesus of course there with them. When you look at Paul, when Paul was in prison, when Peter was in prison, many others, and some that I will get to, hopefully, if I have time. If not, I'll just give you the Scripture reference, and you can look it up a little bit later. All of these people knew that the hand of God was upon them. And again, if not God, then who? And I said all of that to say this. In the day and the hour that you and I are living in, if God don't help us, then who's going to help us? If God don't come through for us, then who's going to come through for us? And I think about that, and I think about the psalm, and I think about the psalmist in the book of Psalm chapter 124. When you look at this, it is 8 verses that we're going to eventually kind of walk through a little bit this evening. Maybe this is a little bit of a Thanksgiving message in some ways, but in other ways it's not. But in this, we can see some Scripture that most of us have actually read before. And again, it opens up in verse number 1. Now, I want you to think about this. If not God, then who? And if God don't help us in the economy that we're living in today, in the world that we're living in today, and I'm not even going to get political, I'm not going to even talk about those things tonight, but you know and I know that those things are very important. Those things are on the table this evening. And if God don't help the United States of America right now, guess what, friend? We're in trouble. We're in trouble at a lot of different levels and a lot of different fronts. So here it is. The psalmist recognized that his help comes from the Lord. When you begin to look at this, we can see in Psalm chapter number, let's just read all the 8 verses. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord who hath not given us his prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we had escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. When you begin to look at this, again, commentary said this. He said, here we see David leading Israel in giving a thanks unto God for past help and expressing confidence in his continuing help. When I thought about that sitting at my desk today, I thought about how many of us can say that, that the Lord is our helper. If God has showed himself real to you and to me in our past, and God has been our helper in the past, it evermore should be a confirmation in our heart tonight to know and to believe, if it had not been for the Lord, where would we be this evening? So all of us can say this evening, and we can express our confidence in giving thanks to God for his past help and expressing confidence in his continuing help. Again, when you look at this, several different commentaries connect this psalm with when Israel was being brought back out of Babylonian captivity. Again, it sounds like a military expression. It sounds like that when the enemy had rose up against the children of Israel, as if the children of Israel had no way of escape, just like when they were getting ready to cross over the Red Sea, the armies of Pharaoh was behind them, and we can see the Red Sea in front of them, and there was no way to escape, but God opened up a way where there seemed to be no way. Now, I may get a little preachy tonight, because I felt that when I was studying this today. I felt like that when man can no longer help us, maybe it's to the point that God is trying to get us, you and I, and the United States of America one more time to not bend our knee before man, but to bend our knee before him and to confess before him, if God don't help us, then what are we going to do? We see this again in verse number 1 where he says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now, I was actually going to look at this in this past weekend and actually mention it. So I'll go ahead and mention it tonight. It was like when Joshua was going up against the prophets of Baal, and Joshua was there in the scripture, and he said, I don't know about you, but I know what I'm going to do. And he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then Joshua chose to serve the Lord. And I'm not going to go through the whole story. You can read it. And they went, they built the altar. And then God showed up. And then all the people there again turned their eyes back on God again. Why? Because God did not orphan them, and God did not leave them alone. We look at that. So in this we see, first of all, it is a gratitude, it is a thanksgiving, it is celebratory, it is thanking God for him being our help. I don't know who in the room or who may be listening tonight, that there have been times in your life that you know in your own heart, you know in your own life, that if it had not been for God, you may not even be sitting in these pews this evening. In other words, this psalm here is a call and a recognition to acknowledge and turn their eyes and to turn their attention one more time back to God. And David called Israel, he called for them to recognize that their help was from God above. It wasn't just that Yahweh was present with them, but he was actively working in and on their behalf. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel this evening. But I went back and I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and that other guy, and they were in the burning fiery furnace. If it had not been for God showing up when they were in the burning fiery furnace, they would have been consumed in the furnace. And you and I, again, when we go through the fire of affliction and the troubles that we go through, when we get through on the other side, it may not be that God wants us to go through the trouble, but God wants us to see, hey, you didn't give up. You didn't throw in the towel. You didn't quit. And you can see all the steps all along the way that I did not leave you. I did not forsake you. And you can look back at that and you can see, hey, if it had not been, I'm preaching on a Wednesday night, I'm sorry. If it had not been for God, where would we be? Where would we be? I wish I had about 200 sitting in here right now to talk to. Where would we be? Where would you and I be? When David penned this and David wrote this, it was two things that David wanted them to do. First of all, he wanted them to acknowledge God and express their gratitude toward God. And it was a call for a recognition towards God for God's help for them. When we think about this, we can think about even Jesus today. We can think about how God was on their side. And I was thinking today when I was working and writing all this out, I was thinking about the song that is a favorite song around here that we sing most often, the Waymaker song. And there's one of the lines in that song that says, even when you don't see Him, He's working. And the Bible says that God is working all things out for the good to them that love Him. Even when you and I, we could not help ourselves, God helped us. Again, when you look at this, He says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, verse 2, let this be their confession. Let this be what comes out of their mouth. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. But again, you and I, God was working things out for you and for me when we did not even see Him. Again, God showed up. God was on their side. Can I confess before you tonight that we have one that's on our side this evening? Hey, He's not dead. Hey, they went to the tomb and the tomb was empty. And the angel of the Lord declared before those that was there, why seek ye the living among the dead? For He is not here, but He is risen as He has said. And you and I this evening, we think about as we head towards the Christmas season. Anybody seen any Christmas lights up yet? Oh, I already seen Christmas lights on my way to church tonight. But even when you and I, when we were without strength and you and I needed help, hey, how many of you know that Jesus, God worked it all out through Jesus, amen? Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse 14, the Bible, we see that very plainly. Again, Isaiah prophesied this. In Isaiah 7 and 14, where the Bible says, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and His name shall be Emmanuel. When you look forward into the New Testament in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 2 and verses 3, verse 3 picks it up like this, and he says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Hey, if it had not been for God on our side, if it had not been for Emmanuel, if it had not been for God, then who? Where can you and I go? I'm always reminded when I preach the top messages that I'm preaching tonight, I'm always reminded when I said this about 3 weeks ago, and I didn't write it down, I just thought of it. Over in John 6 and 66, where it talks about this, and it says, Peter is there, and Jesus asked the question, will you also go away? And he looked back and he said, well, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who are we going to go to? Where? What are we going to do in the church these days? We have nowhere else to go. Verse 2 of this text says, in this text, he says that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, Look at your neighbor and say, he's on my side. Are you on his side? Amen. Amen. When you look at this, it says, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick, and their wrath was kindled against us. When you look at that, I think about, again, all of those that rise up against the Christians and all of those that rise up against the saints of God, even in the day and the hour that we're living in. I think about again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that other guy, you know him. And we think about that. We think about how that Nebuchadnezzar gathered them all up and he put them in the fire. He said, you're going to bow or you're going to burn, whichever one you choose. I think about you and I and the culture that we're living in today. When you think about verse number 2 and verse number 3, that God is on our side. Verse 3 says, and they would have swallowed us up quick, and their wrath was kindled against us. Verse 4 talks about this. He says, even as the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, and the proud waters had gone over. I don't know if you've ever felt like that you were being overwhelmed with life, and everything was coming at you all at one time, and evil men and all kinds of wickedness is in our society today, and it seems like you find more wicked men than you find godly men. It seems like wickedness is more everywhere than ever been in all of our days, or my days anyway. What do you do when it's like this? You trust in God. You trust in God that God will see you through. I'm not going to take the time to read all of this evening, but there was a time in the New Testament. His name was Stephen. I mentioned Stephen about 2 weeks ago or three, went somewhere along through there. And over in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, we actually see this, chapter 6. And we see this, and Stephen was one that was chosen. The Bible says that when Judas done what Judas did, and then Matthias was chosen, then they were going to choose men full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and 7 men, and they picked out this one man by the name of Stephen. Stephen was identified as a man full of faith. Later he was also identified as a man being full of the Holy Ghost. In verse number 8, the Bible says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great works and miracles among the people. Now again, you can read the whole thing about Stephen. Stephen began to preach the word unto them, and he began to tell them in verse number 51 of how that they were stiff-necked, and how again that they were uncircumcised in their heart and in their ears, if you will. And they always do resist the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, all these people rise up against Stephen. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that they begin as he preached the word, they were cut to their heart. And then the Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth. And 55 says he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he says he looked up steadfastly into heaven. And it says, and he saw the glory of God. And he says, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And the Bible says they cried, and they came upon Stephen in such a rush, and they began to stone Stephen, and they killed Stephen there. But before Stephen died and gave up the ghost, the Bible says that how he looked and he seen the Lord Jesus up in heaven. Hey, guess what? And he said that he seen the Lord standing at the right hand of God. Hey, you and I today, in the day that we're living in, we may not always understand why we're going through what we're going through. But just like this scripture says in the Psalms tonight, that when all kinds of evil prevails against us, and it seems, or tries to, when it seems like that, when all kinds of wickedness and evil, it says that, it says when men rose up against us, they swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us. And it says, and when the waters seemed to overwhelm us. But yet we read the scripture about Stephen. And in Stephen we read and we see that when Stephen went down was when Jesus stood up for him. When Stephen was no longer able to do anything, he looked up and he seen Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just simply saying this, that God is going to stand up for us. That God is going to provide for us. That even though it seems like the waters are overwhelming us, it seems like that the waves are overwhelming us, yet we look at this and we can see that how that when Stephen looked up, He saw the King of Glory. Amen. That God did not leave him in the heat of the fire, but yet God showed up and God got in the fire with them and with Stephen. And I thought about that. I thought about this. If not God, who? Nobody else is going to do what God can do for you and I. The world at large, they don't have no hope. They're looking in all the wrong places. They are. They're looking for hope in all the wrong places. But you know what? I've got perfect peace tonight to know that my confidence is in the Lord. Even when men rise up against David, David did this psalm. He did this psalm as a reminder to them to acknowledge the fact that even though they feel overwhelmed, even though it seems like the streams had gone over their soul, again, for them to acknowledge if it had not been for God. Isn't it amazing that when you look back at Israel, when you look back at the history of Israel, when again they came across the Red Sea, when Pharaoh had 600 of his choice chariots, if you will, that's his very, very best. Even when the enemy puts forth his very, very best, it is still not enough to stop what God's plan is for our lives. Somebody says, well, how in the world did all of that take place? And I know there's commentary and a lot of debate and a lot of conversation and a lot of things. And it says it was flood season. And it said, people say, well, it was not only that. And people say it wasn't that big of a miracle. It was only like 6 inches of water that they went across on and all of the things that you hear. But here's the thing. Whether it was a lot of water or a little bit of water, God still did it. And if it was 6 inches of water, I remember reading this or hearing it said one time that even if it was 6 inches of water, hey, God drowned all of Pharaoh's army in 6 inches of water, so it was still a miracle of God. They got their wheels stuck in the mud and they could not go any further. Hey, if it had not been for God on our side, where would you and I be tonight? Again, this is the testimony of Israel. It was testimony of Israel in this, and it says this is what they were saying here. The testimony that they had was let others hear this. You see this in verses number 3 and through verse number 5. He says, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our soul. Again, when you think about waters, it talks about storms or troubles or the force of the waves or anything of the above. Commentary talked about that. And even with what we looked at the scripture, we see that how that the disciples was there in the middle of the sea, middle of the waters, and how that Jesus was there asleep on the pillow, and Peter was there, and all the disciples was there. And they said, Lord, do you not even care that we perish? And Jesus rose and he spoke and rebuked the wind, and the wind ceased. You know, you and I, we're a lot like sheep in the context of that, how it don't take a whole lot for you and I to get troubled. Now, I don't know about you, I can only speak about me. You and I, by nature, we're like sheep. We get troubled real, real easy, don't we? All it takes is one hiccup in our day and one little thing in our day, and it seems like our faith is challenged, and it seems like that everything we were walking in the day before, when we get this little hiccup right here, all of a sudden we don't know what we're going to do. And again, David was being one that would encourage them to keep their eyes on the Lord and to understand that God was not going to leave them. Even when they saw the oppressors come, even when they seen all of this happen. Again, when you look at this in the scripture, he says this in verse number 5, the waters. When you look in the scripture in Isaiah, and I know that you know the scripture, Isaiah 43. Matter of fact, this scripture was mentioned to me last week in Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, the first part of verse number 3. And this is actually one of Sherry's favorite verses of scripture. And we look at this in the scripture there. And we see, when thou passest through the waters, when you passeth through the water, look to your neighbor and say, something's going on. Something's going on. Where have we been for 10 months? Something's going on. Hey, God's going to get us through it. Amen. If it had not been for God, if not God, then who? Hey, I'm going to be really blunt. I'm not looking to the government. I've had enough of that, haven't you? It's time for the church again to be looking unto Jesus. It's time for us to get our refocus back on Him. Or that's how I feel anyway. You might have kept your focus the whole time, but I know for me it's very easy for me to get distracted. I'm like that little guppy fish on that show, Nemo. Dory or Dora, whatever that guppy fish was. And some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But this particular little Dory show, this little guppy show, what was the name of it? Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo was this little guppy and this or whatever kind of fish it was. This thing would be swimming along and following everybody else along, and this little thing over here would get distracted. I think it's the bluefish, not the little guppy thing, but it would get distracted, and it'd go way over here and get off target. Sometimes, somebody help me with my shows later, but I think it's the little bluefish, I think, or one of them. Don't make no difference. But I'm just simply saying that's how easy we get distracted. We get distracted real easy. We get our eyes off of what God is saying. I know I do. I do. I have to encourage myself in the Lord just like you do. But he says here in the scripture, he says in this Isaiah scripture, and he says in verse number 1 again, when you look at this in Isaiah 43:1, he says, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. Look at your neighbor and say, fear not. Everything in the world seems to be going crazy right now. We thought it was over. We thought COVID was over, didn't we? What have you heard on the news today? What little bit we've heard it on the news? It's on the rise again. I mean, it just seems like it's just everywhere you go, more things to spark fear into your life. More things to spark fear into my life. Joshua 1, we're not turning there, but Joshua 1, before Joshua could ever do what God told him to do, he said, hey, fear not, be of good courage, be not dismayed. And I really believe this with everything within me. If we're going to make it in the day and the hour that we're living in, we're going to have to get away from the distractions. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm not talking about not adhering to certain things and not being lawful and mindful of things. But I'm telling you, we cannot be filled with fear every time the devil goes boo and we jump out almost out of our skin. Now, I'm talking about spiritual applications, because God's for us and not against us. Is anybody in the room tonight? God is for us and not against us. He told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, either you're going to bow or you're going to burn. Either you're going to do what we tell you to do or there are going to be severe consequences. And they looked back and said, hey, regardless of what's going on, we're not going to bow and we're not going to do this. And I'm not talking about a governmental thing right now. I'm talking about spiritual application. I'm talking about the devil. I'm talking about the evil. I'm talking about wickedness. I'm talking about sinful things. It's when the enemy tries to get us to engage in spiritual things that are less than what God would have us to be. Sinful things. Iniquity. Things that are wrong. And even things sometimes that go against, contrary to the teachings of God's Word. We should not do them. We should be obedient to God's Word. Let me see where I'm at. Verse number 1, the latter part, he said, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Do anybody in the room belong to God? You're God's child. Look at your neighbor and say, you're God's child. Look at them. Look at somebody. You're God's child. Tell them, you're God's child. Amen. We can't walk in fear. We have to walk by faith. Now verse 2. He says this again, and this is his confidence. When thou passest, look at this next word, through the waters, which is a guarantee that somewhere along life's journey, you're going to be tried and you're going to go through the waters and you're going to go through things. I'm going to go through things that at times it's going to seem like it's overwhelming us and just about ready to overtake us. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, don't want to wear it again. But he says, the next thing, when thou passest through the waters, watch this, I will be with thee. I will be with you. means you're getting the water, you're going through the water, but you're not going through it by yourself. They went into the furnace, but they were not in the furnace by themselves. God jumped in there, theophany, and God jumped in there with them. The fourth man is likened to the Son of God. When you and I, have you ever been through anything, and you look back on it, and I know we all have, and you thought to yourself, God, if you had not have been there, I would not be sitting right here tonight. Amen? I believe we've all been there in some way. We've all could have had accidents on the highway. We've all been in situations where it could have been a whole lot worse. And you got through it on the other side and you thought, God, I'm so thankful that you were there. He says, and I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Amen. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now look at verse number the first part of that. For I am the Lord thy God. Say that with me. For I am the Lord thy God. The same God they served is the same God that we serve. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The same God that they served is the same God that we serve today through his Son Jesus Christ. He said, the Holy One of Israel. Again, when you pass it through, I wrote me a note right here, said, and they did not sink. That when we feel like that we may sink, look at this, verse number 6 of our text, and I'm going to finish it up right here in just a minute. Verse number 6 in our text. Again, one thought runs through this entire text. This whole thought that runs through this entire text is again, if you look at this, that God protects his people. When you look across the page at Psalm 120, this is what Psalm 120 in verse number 1 says. In my distress or in my trouble, in my anxiety, in my unknowings, in my wandering, in my uncertainty, in when I did not know how the outcome was going to be, in my distress, I cried who? Unto the Lord. If not God, then who? In all of my distress, has anybody ever had anything that you knew if God didn't show up, that you were in trouble? That people that you were praying for would be in trouble? That if God did not show up, you didn't know how the light bill was going to be paid? If God didn't show up, you didn't know how the food was going to be bought? If God didn't show up, somebody says, well, what's ahead of us, preacher? You know, several months ago, it was a toilet paper thing. Everybody bought up all the toilet paper. Then people were trying to take it back to the stores, and the stores wouldn't take it back. Why? Because they already made plenty more of it. They didn't want it back. It's yours. We don't want your toilet paper. But you know, yesterday, you told me, day before, Sherry said, I went to Walmart, I think. She said, you would not believe that place. She said, just about every can of beans and about every can of everything that was on the shelf was wiped slap off the shelf. I said, well, wave two, it's coming. You better get you some beans and put in your cupboard. You better get you some toilet paper and put it up. You think that's funny, but hey, here's the thing. People got in fights. They got in fights. I seen things on Facebook. They were knocking people in the head over toilet paper. That you just imagine what they're going to do over a can of soup or a can of beans or... You heard my story. Janet helped me out on that. She went and bought me a roast. I had some stuff in the buggy, and that woman says, you can't get two of them. You got to get one of those and one of those. I had like two packs of chicken or whatever it was, or I don't remember. I thought, man, that's terrible. And I was a Christian that day. I was very, very nice. I said, huh, that's something else, ain't it? I didn't want to be there for a minute. I thought, that just really stinks, you know what I mean? But I was really nice. And I said all of that to say this, that even in our distress, God's going to take care of us. David even said it. David said it. You said, somebody said, well, preacher, what are we going to have to go through? I have no clue. I have no clue. But I know who's going to be with us through it. If it had not been for God. Verse number six says this. He says, blessed be the Lord. Now watch this. Who hath not given us as prey to their teeth. In other words, what David was saying, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord because God did not allow you to become prey to them. God did not allow you to be consumed, prey to their teeth. In other words, God did not allow them to chew you up and spit you out. In other words, God did not allow you to be defeated because of your enemy. And you and I this evening, even though the devil's howling and the devil's growling and the devil always is going to try to tear down the children of God, I think it's like this. I think we oftentimes always are on the defense. We're always trying to combat against the enemy. I think it's time for us to carry the ball. Is that offense? I'm not a football person. Is that offense? When you've got the ball and you're running it down the field and you're headed toward the goal line. I do know a little bit about football, not much, but I don't know much about baseball or soccer or nothing like that, but I can do other things. I never did play sports in school. I can't tell you the first thing about basketball. Don't even ask. I don't know. That's besides the point. I don't want to get sidetracked. I'm just simply saying this, that we stay on the defense so much, we're always scared. We're always in the corner shaking about what the devil's going to do. Hey, the devil's already a defeated foe, right? He's already defeated. He's not going to be defeated. He's already defeated. He was defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross. Amen? He's already set you and I free. Jesus has already done. He's already paid the price. We just need to thank God for what he's already done. Again, it's celebratory. They're celebrating the fact that God did not allow them to be given over to the prey of the enemy. Again, when you look at this, he says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Look at this, the latter part of 120, verse number 1. He says this. He said, and he heard me. Is that not awesome? He heard me. The last couple of things, verse number 7 and 8. Our soul is escaped. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The Bible says that you and I have escaped the very jaws of the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, if you will, that the Spirit of God would raise up a standard against him. The Bible again teaches us that if you look at this, that the very enemy of our soul goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But yet this psalm, it reminds us of how that God has allowed us to escape traps, the trickery and the snare of the devil, if you will. And he says that the snare is broken. Again, it was broken 2,000 years ago by Jesus himself. And then he says in the latter part of verse number 7, and we are escaped. That God delivered them out of the hand of the enemy. Again, you look at the life of Joseph when you look into the scripture that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and hopefully we'll get back there one of these days, but is when Joseph rose up at the very end of that, when he was talking to his brethren, all of them was there, and they finally knew who Joseph was, and Joseph had the opportunity to look back at them and look at them and say, hey, the very thing that you intended for my harm, that's like in over there in the scripture chapter 50 and verse 20 of that, Joshua? Yeah. And he looks back and he said, the thing that you intended for evil, that God worked it out for good. Sometimes God will not keep us from the fire, but he'll go with us through the fire. Sometimes the waters may seem to be overwhelming, but God says, I'm going to get you through it. I'm going to be there with you. And he says that even though the enemy here put a trap or a snare before the children of Israel, and again, you can relate this to when they were in Babylonian captivity, according to commentary, that God allowed them to escape. Verse 8, in conclusion, he says, our help, say that with me, our help, the next little bitty word, I-S, that carries a lot of weight right there. Two little letters and a teensy-weensy little bitty word, I-S. Our help is. That's a confidence word, ain't it? That's guaranteed. That's no debate. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help. If not God, then who? If you and I are going to make it in the day and the hour that we're living in, hey, banks, recession, troubles, persecutions, gas prices is going to go up again to about $4 a gallon. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Whatever takes place is going to take place. But you and I, we've got to keep our focus on Jesus. Amen? If you'll stand with me, we'll pray and go to the house. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this evening. I thank you for thy word is quick. Thy word is powerful. Thy word is sharp. And thy word is forever settled in heaven. Father, I thank you, O God, even now, for the word of the Lord, that assurance that we have, that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. God, give us that assurance, even though that those that might be listening online, those that may be here this evening, give us that assurance, Father God, collectively, as a church, that our help is in the Lord. If not God, then who? Lord, we place our trust and our confidence in him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. Lord, be with this congregation. Help us, Father God, to keep our focus on you in the middle of a world that seemingly has looking to everything else but you. Lord, even in the media, even in the marketplace, even on the news, Father, men are claiming abilities. Men are claiming they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Father, I think it's time for all men everywhere to repent. The Bible says that it's time for men to repent. It's time for the nations of the world to bend their knees before God and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of all. So, Father, be with us. Be with every heart, be with every home, be with every family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.